I want to look just briefly at the righteous agony and death of the King. And as we consider Christ's death on the cross, I'd like to ask Ben if he wouldn't mind just lifting the screen for us. And hopefully the cross that's before us will just be another gentle but powerful reminder to us of what Christ endured on the cross for our sin. We've read through chapters 22 and 23 together in Luke's gospel, and before we come to the table, I'd like to just reflect on one important reality that is vital, that is crucial about the severe agony, suffering, and death that Jesus Christ endured for us. And that important truth is that the righteousness of Jesus Christ shines through his agony and death. The agony that Christ endured was righteous. The death that Jesus Christ endured was righteous. We'd like to take a couple moments, and if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to a couple of different passages, but as we think of this agony that Jesus Christ endured on our behalf, we tend to wear maybe a cross on our jewelry, and there's nothing wrong with that, as if it reminds us of what Christ endured. But as I've said other times, and I'm sure we're aware, the cross in Jesus' day was nothing that people wanted to be even reminded of. The Romans had perfected, if we could say that, they had perfected the art of killing someone in one of the most cruel ways possible through crucifixion. It would be like us today thinking of perhaps the electric chair or another means of death that is horrible. But this was public. This was a humiliating death, an agonizing death. There have been reports, as we look at history, of men or women who were crucified that struggled for days on the cross. Eventually, after a loss of blood, the strength would give way, and the person would die by suffocating, because they would not be able to hold themselves up anymore, and they would breathe their last in a very crucial, a terrible, excruciating way. But the agony that Jesus Christ endured was righteous. There's a number of reasons why. One reason why Christ's agony that he endured on our behalf, the reason it was righteous, is because his suffering and agony was necessary for appeasing the holy and righteous wrath of God. We've talked often in the last couple weeks about how terrible our sin is, how terrible sin is in the eyes of God, and how he must punish sin. Turn, if you would, to Luke. If you're in Luke already, turn to chapter 24. We're going to look here next Sunday, so I don't want to steal our thunder, but we won't probably get to the whole passage of the road to Emmaus after Jesus had risen from the dead. But if you remember, on the very day that Jesus rose, that Sunday, two of his disciples or his followers were traveling to a road to Emmaus, but they had not seen Jesus since he had risen. They had heard reports that day. And look at verse 13. It says, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. So everybody at this time, just real quick, everybody at this time has been talking. I mean, the crucifixion of Christ, it was huge. And even people who had never heard about Jesus had heard about his triumphal entry, had heard about all the reports about him. And next thing, he's killed, executed, not just killed, but he wasn't stoned. He was given the worst form of execution, crucifixion. And the chief priests were happy about it. And Jesus' disciples, the ones who truly did follow him, were shocked. And notice these two men, they're walking, and Jesus, "So what is this you're talking about? What is this news?" And it's so shocking to them that Jesus, this man, hasn't heard about it. They stop. And notice it says they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb, found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" The suffering, the agony that Christ endured, it was righteous because it was necessary for appeasing the holy and righteous wrath of God. He had to die, but also he suffered. And in that suffering, it was righteous as well because Christ's agony and suffering fulfilled the word of God regarding the promised suffering servant. Isaiah 53 tells us that he would suffer greatly. He would be wounded and crushed by God. Christ's agony was also righteous because even in the most severe moments of his suffering, he did not sin. Our scripture reading this morning from 1 Peter chapter 2, it reminds us in verses 22 through 25 that he endured all this suffering, yet he did not sin, even with his mouth. He did not revile back when he was reviled. In fact, what are the words from the cross? "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Christ did not sin once leading up to the cross or on the cross. He is the righteous Son of God. His agony that he endured was righteous, and his agony set an example for how we as his church must endure suffering. But we think of the death of Christ. The suffering led to the death. His death also was righteous. It was righteous because he was God's perfect, innocent, substitutionary, or the term vicarious, promised sacrifice for our sin. Turn if you would to Hebrews chapter 2, very briefly. Hebrews chapter 2. Just want to read a couple verses, and we'll read some other passages in Hebrews before we come to the table. Hebrews chapter 2, let's actually start in verse 10. "For it was fitting that he," speaking of Jesus, "for whom and by whom all things exist, and bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, 'I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise.' And again, 'I will put my trust in him.' And again, 'Behold, I and the children God has given me.' Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Jesus, his death was righteous because he was God's perfect, innocent substitute and the only one who could step in between the wrath of the Heavenly Father and the sinfulness of man and be righteous and atone for our sin. If you go over to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, "As Christ shed his blood and died, he was fulfilling the commands of God regarding the perfect sacrifice for sin." If you look at chapter 9, verse 22, it says, "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." The death of Jesus Christ was righteous because he was God's righteous sacrifice, the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sin of the world. His death was righteous because it was necessary for our sins to be forgiven. Look at verse 23. Thus, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he, Jesus, has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifices of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. One day he'll return in the clouds, and we'll see him, and he'll call his church home. The death of Jesus was righteous because he died once for all for the sins of the world. As we celebrate Christ's death tonight and remember his death, we are not sacrificing Christ afresh. We dare not. His body is not here. His body is resurrected in heaven. But we remember his sacrifice, his once for all, perfect, righteous sacrifice for our sin. The righteousness of Jesus Christ shines through his agony and through his death. So as we prepare to sing, in a minute we're going to have just a silent moment of prayer and reflection. But I kind of encourage you as we come to the Lord's table to consider these three thoughts. First, we must rejoice. As Christians, we must rejoice in Jesus Christ's perfect righteousness as the Son of God. If he was just a man, as Pilate saw him, or just a man being an imposter, as the Jewish leaders saw him, his death would have meant nothing. But he was not just a man. He's the Son of God, the God-man who took on human flesh. Rejoice in Christ's perfect sacrifice as the Son of God. Secondly, remember Jesus Christ's perfect sacrifice as the Lamb of God. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace and our sin came upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. And thirdly, I'd encourage us to resist. This is a big one. Resist the sinful temptation to view either his death or communion at the Lord's table as an ordinary, common, or mundane ritual. This is worship. Christ says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. So as we come to the table, let's just take a quiet moment together. Let's quiet our hearts. And I encourage you just to pray, thank the Lord for his righteousness. Thank the Lord for his sacrifice. And after we have a quiet word of reflection, we'll sing a hymn, My Jesus Fair, together. But let's have a quiet moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to come to this earth to be the perfect Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world, of those who would cover the sin of the world. All those who put their faith and trust in him are saved from their sin. Father, I pray that you would help us to live for your glory, to not live for our own. I pray that as we celebrate and we remember, we worship at your table this evening, I pray that there would be no arrogance in our heart, no pride, no sin unconfessed. I pray that you would help us to truly worship you and thank you. Remember well your sacrifice, the sacrifice of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together. You can remain seated. And we're going to sing hymn number 316. It's hymn number 316, My Jesus Fair. The men who are going to be serving the communion elements, if they would like to come down to the front, they can at this time. But let's sing together hymn number 316, My Jesus Fair.